Well, this is where the nation's big conversations begin every morning. We continue with our discussion here on the Miraya Breakfast Show, focusing on the importance of public health and looking at public health issues that affect individuals, families and communities across the world, including South Sudan, and that's tobacco use and tobacco control. Now, from 1st to 2nd September, the Minister of Health, with support from the World Health Organization, will hold a national high-level stakeholders orientation on the ratification of the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, commonly known as the WHO FCTC. Now, this landmark international treaty aims to reduce the devastating health, social, and economic impacts of tobacco use while protecting current and future generations from tobacco-related harm. Now, to help us unpack these issues, we are joined by this in the studio by Mary Dennis Obat, who is the Director of Health Education at the Ministry of Health. We also have Dr. Moses Motebi from the World Health Organization. Thank you so much for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. Let's start with the Ministry of Health. Just provide for us an overview of the National High-Level Stakeholders Orientation on the ratification of the WHO FCTC in South Sudan.
Thank you very much. As Minister of Health, we really welcome this orientation, the National High-Level Stakeholder Orientation on the ratification of the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. This is very crucial for our country because, this orientation will bring together all the Ministry of Health, offices. It will bring also together the parliamentarians because they are the ones that, enact the laws and all this, the civil society because they are the voice of the voiceless, development partners like WHO who are ready to support with technical support as well as, financially. And as well as also the media. Media is also very important, the academia and so on.
Right.
So all of them are very crucial for this tobacco control ratification, to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing of bringing everyone together, the high-level stakeholder orientation, is to increase the understanding of this framework, the WHO framework, and to build consensus also on the importance of ratification of this convention, and also to clarify the responsibilities of each sector.
Mm.
What are their responsibilities? They have to know. And to discuss also the harmful effect of tobacco, on health, on the society, and the economic burden that
right.
it can bring about.
Right.
So this meeting is demonstrated very strong, commitment to protect the population as a whole.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's bring in Dr. Motebi. Why is this ratification important? Of course, we have heard one or two things from Mary.
Yes. Good morning, listeners, once again. But probably I just want to start good morning, listeners. I think I was not very audible. And I just probably want to start by just giving you a short background on tobacco globally. And we know that tobacco today is one of the leading risk factors of non-communicable diseases, chiefly the big four: cardiovascular diseases, cancer, chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, diabetes being one of them. And these diseases contribute to about 70% of all global deaths.
Right.
But then tobacco is intricate to these diseases because it's a key risk factor. And we know that tobacco kills about 8 million people each year. And more than 7 million people, 7 million deaths as a result of direct tobacco use. Well, around 1.2 million as a result of non-smokers being exposed to secondhand smoke. And then we know that about 80% of all these deaths are from middle to low income countries.
Mm.
So that's just to give you a perspective of why tobacco is important to us. But then going back to the question, why ratification of the WHO FCTC, which is the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, and why it's important for South Sudan? Yeah. The WHFCTC is the world's first health treaty and provides a proven framework for reducing tobacco use and protecting the people from tobacco smoke.
Mm.
And ratification is important because it will help South Sudan strengthen tobacco control laws and protect our children, our youths, and young people from tobacco industry marketing, and also reduce tobacco-related diseases, as we said, and how they are linked to many of these of these killer conditions, and it saves lives.
Mm.
It also demonstrates the country's commitment on the global health standards and supports efforts to prevent non-communicable diseases, as we've mentioned, the cancer, heart disease, stroke, chronic lung disease, and diabetes. Here, globally, this WHFCTC was it was adopted by countries, and it was adopted at the World Health Assembly in 2003, about 23 years ago, and about 182 countries really ratified during that stage because they closed the ratification around June 2004. But then other countries that didn't ratify then can quickly be made part of the treaty by through accession, which will be explained later. But I think this is why we want to join this global community, such that we are part of the part of this partnership and part of the support to this country,
right,
to protect people's lives.
Thanks. Right. So what benefits have other countries experienced after ratifying the convention?
The countries that have really ratified, many countries that have ratified and implemented the WHO FCTC have seen significant reductions in smoking rates. I'm fairly old, middle age.
Mm.
When I was in school, I was just chatting with Mary in the room there that about, I think, over 80% of our pupils, children at school during that time in secondary school, over 80% were smokers.
But
right now, it has really gone down. I don't think that it's hardly seen. Mm. So those are the benefits of those that have ratified really before that. It has brought reductions in smoking rates, particularly the young people.
Mm.
And these are the people we are targeting, really, because they are future of our countries. And they have introduced these countries have introduced stronger tobacco taxes, smoke-free public places. Ensured health warnings on tobacco products and restrictions on advertising and promotion, which is a boost to the economy, but also it has a lot of health benefits. And these measures have reduced tobacco consumption, prevented disease and premature deaths, and lowered also healthcare costs and increased government revenue through tobacco taxation.
Right.
Yes.
And let me come to Mary. Why is the Ministry of Health advocating for the ratification of the WHO FCTC?
Well, the Minister of Health is advocating for the ratification of the tobacco use or the WHO FCTC because, tobacco use is a major preventable risk. So it is a risk, but it is preventable. And major preventable risk factor for disease and death. So if it is preventable, then the ministry as a national authority is responsible for protecting the public. And as a result, the ministry recognizes the need for strong measures to prevent tobacco use and protect citizens from exposure to the tobacco smoke.
Right.
So ratification will actually provide a comprehensive framework to guide national tobacco control policies, and programs, and help safeguard future generations.
Right. And Mary, which sectors must act beyond the Ministry of Health?
Well, we have so many of them. Mm-hmm. For example, Ministry of Education, Youth and Sports. We also have even finance and gender mm-hmm. and social welfare, the academia, mm-hmm. the social, I mean, the civil society, the name them. There are so many of them.
Mm.
Yes.
Right.
Even in how do you call it? In industry, trade and industry, mm-hmm. and then law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have to enforce.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Dr. Moses, what specific commitments and actions are expected from key stakeholders following the national orientation?
Yes. If they do really come to attend this high-level meeting, I think most of them have really confirmed. Mm-hmm. The stakeholders are expected to support and advocate for ratification process within their respective institutions, because it's not only for health, but as you see, it's multi-sectoral, it's intersectoral. And they should raise awareness about the dangers of tobacco use, and like that, through education, say civil society, for example, and also support this policy development, and also strengthen coordination among stakeholders, and also promote evidence-based tobacco control measures.
Mm.
And also, since we are expecting also the development partners, we also we shall provide technical support, and then also civil society can mobilize communities, media can educate the public, government institutions can facilitate legal and administrative processes
mm.
that are required for ratification, and then also implementation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Mary, what support is needed from development partners, civil society, the media, community leaders, and the public to advance this tobacco control?
Well, like for our development partners, they can help with the technical support as well as also funding.
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, we need funding so that we can, you know, make sure that this ratification happens mm-hmm. and becomes a law. And civil society, their job or their role is to make sure that the communities are aware, and also the media,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the community leaders also, they have a very important role, because, you know, in the community they are heard, and people trust them.
Mm.
Yeah, so,
right.
Yeah, all these actors, you know, they have role to play.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Dr. Moses, earlier you gave us an overview and a picture of how tobacco affects people and how much is lost to life. So what are the major health, social, and economic dangers for tobacco use for individuals, families, and communities in South Sudan?
Yeah, already we are observing this through our assessments and data, but we know that tobacco use damages nearly every organ of the body and increases risks of cancer, heart disease, stroke, chronic pulmonary disease, and also other illnesses. We mentioned also diabetes, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Exposure to also secondhand smoke, as I say, that globally about 1.2 million deaths are due to secondhand smoke, and it also harms the non-smokers, especially children and pregnant women, people who are not actually directly smoke.
Yeah.
So, that's a human rights issue, mm-hmm. I would say. So beyond these effects, as we say, it's not only health. Tobacco also places a financial burden on families through healthcare costs and loss of productivity. But it also reduces household income available for food, education, and other amenities or necessities.
Mm.
So communities also bear increased health expenditures and loss of economic productivity.
Right.
Due to illness and premature death.
Right. So, Doctor, how would the ratification help protect the children and the young people who are exposed?
Yeah, we want to actually guarantee better health and the future of our young children. So ratification really helps to ensure that they are not exposed to smoke. And also they don't use, when they go to school or they join the youth club.
They have
whatever,
no access.
They have no access to it whatsoever. The first is the health benefits. And then, of course, it will improve the economy eventually. So this is what we're really essentially looking at.
Right. And Mary, would you like to add?
Yeah, I wanted to add. These tobacco industries, you know, they target the young people, the very young children or people. And so ratification will really support strong measures to restrict the advertising and all this, you know, and restrict promotion and sponsorship, limit access to tobacco products by minors, you know, because there's a certain age that, you know, minors are not supposed to use the tobacco, especially under 18.
Yeah,
but if this
so we always see a disclaimer, not for sale for for children under 18.
Yes, yes. And once this ratification is, you know, strong measures is put in place and restriction is put in place, it's going to help in tobacco-free schools. You know, even public spaces. People will not be, you know, smoking anyhow anywhere.
Right. So, do you have any data on whether children in school, as low as primary school, have access to tobacco?
No, unfortunately, I don't have.
Okay. Mm. Right. Thank you so much. As we conclude this conversation, Dr. Moses, what actions should individuals, families, and communities take to prevent tobacco use and reduce exposure to tobacco smoke?
Yeah, individuals should really avoid starting tobacco use and seek support to quit for those that are already smokers.
Mm.
If they are currently in use, they should be supported to really quit. We should ensure those programs are in place.
Right.
And then parents and guardians should also talk to their children about the dangers of tobacco and create tobacco-free homes. Those are some of the things that we look at. But also at the community level, we should support smoke-free public places, as Mary mentioned, schools, workplaces, and social gatherings. And then we should ensure that our community leaders, teachers, and health workers should also continue educating the public about tobacco harms and advocate for healthy, tobacco-free lifestyles.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
And everybody has a role to play, actually, in protecting their family and community from the harms of tobacco.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Anne Mary. What is your final message?
My final message is that this ratification of this WHO FCTC is going to help, create a healthier environment, because we don't want, for instance, there are people who do not smoke. You know, they don't have to be exposed to tobacco smoke, because these days when you go to Juba, you know, to the restaurants or anywhere, tea places, you'll find that people are smoking around.
Just normally.
It's not allowed, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. All right, Mary Dennis Obat and from the Minister of Health and Dr. Moses Motebi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Right, you're welcome.
I'm looking forward, thanks.